Go. Welcome to today's podcast. Still not brought to you by anyone.
Not yet.
Today I'm here today with Ruben Rodriguez. He is back.
Yo.
And then we decided to bring back Javier Rodriguez, our special guest, again. For today we're gonna generally we're gonna cover what a conversation was.
First, where's your co-host at? Where's Ruben and what's his name? I mean, Ruben's here. Where's Luis and Aaron at?
You know what, man?
I don't know. The second time you put out the call for me this week, so I don't know what's going on with these guys.
These guys, I don't know, man. They're
something special.
Yeah, they are definitely something special. I guess they're hanging out with their girlfriends. I'm not sure.
Damn.
Priorities, you know. I guess their top priority is that. But I use, at least what I use this podcast for, is a lot of learning. It has helped me a lot of my classes. I've gotten to know, learn a lot more stuff, and that's why I'm very into this. And I know Ruben is pretty into it, and that's why we bring back Javier. He's always the kind of person that'll teach us new stuff every time he comes on. Which today we're really in abuse of him in a way, because we're talking about conversationalists and what makes you a good conversationalist. And I'm going off a website right here that we're going to use a little bit, and we're going to talk about are these qualities for, do they really make you a good conversationalist, or in a way do they kind of just try to fill in some stuff on their article. So let's start off by the first, the saying you have to be genuinely interested in a person when you're talking to them. Is that true?
Not always. I don't think you have to be generally interested in somebody. Like, I mean, you can just walk to a bar and, I mean, there's some guy sitting next to you or some girl, and just start talking to them. I don't think he has to be necessarily into you. You have to be into them.
But, like, so we're talking about, like, if you are talking to them, do you have to be generally interested in, like, what they're saying to be able to be a good conversationalist, I guess?
In a way, I guess.
Just to try to pick out what they want to talk about as well, you know, because one good thing about being a conversationalist is kind of, like, letting someone else keen in on what they want to say, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it would make sense.
It holds a better conversation, that's for sure. You're interested.
Exactly. So let's say you're talking to someone who likes guns.
Okay.
So what are you talking about? You're anti-gun or something? Or would you rather to be a good conversation just so the time could go by a little bit quicker, or with the whole conversation could go a little smoother? You'd say, ask him about his position on guns and what kind of guns he likes, I guess, you know?
I don't know. I don't have no clue. I've never really been faced with that. I guess it's whatever, you know.
I think you could give your point of view on that too. Mm-hmm. If you're against it, so
yeah, but it brings me to one of the points is they say converse, not debate or argue. Do you think to make a good conversation sometimes you should argue about stuff? Or should you always like agree with anything anyone says?
I think you should say what you have to say. Uh-huh. Maybe hold back a little bit, but just prove your point.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it depends who you're talking with. Because there's some people that generally take what you say as like a negative. Everything you say, they're so pessimistic. They're like, oh, why are you bringing up? Let's go back to like the gun. Talking about someone that like guns. Bring up, oh, I'm anti-gun, and they get offended because of that.
That's just an immature person. Like,
yeah,
if you're trying to have a conversation, you can have a conversation, and if you disagree with somebody, you know, like, that's the whole point of talking to somebody, is like, you're just gonna get their point of view, whether it's the right way or the wrong way, you know, just hear them out. I think if the people that get mad and like in conversations, they're like, they're not really like, I guess you can say that in a way, antisocial, because, like, I mean, I met people that are just like, oh, like, let's not go there. Like, what? Like, what the fuck? Like, let's not go there. Why? Like, let's go there. Like, right. What the hell? Like, you know, like, you just can't talk about it because your head's so high up your ass. Like, just say it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I've always felt that, like, if you're good conversationalist, you should have a conversation with anybody just about anything. Mm-hmm. Whether it's sports, whether it's weather, like even if you don't know anything about weather, you can talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I mean that's the way that I see it, but mm-hmm. everyone's I guess is different in terms of how they approach that.
Yeah, we do have a bunch of friends that in general, like when we find ourselves talking about sports, they completely close themselves out of the conversation, right?
Yeah, we've seen that before many times.
Yeah, and it's not the fact, and it goes back to being generally interested in the conversation, not just the person, but instead in the conversation. If someone's talking about the subject they like, kind of ask them questions about it. It doesn't mean you have to know everything about it, because generally you want to learn something about what they have to say.
You know, yeah, but you know how I love rattling up is like soccer hooligans. Like I love it, love rattling up like soccer hooligans. Like because I like soccer, but I just think like I don't know. Like I don't consider it to be like 100% of
the
sport.
What are you trying to say, Javier?
I just like I love it when people like they defend soccer to the teeth. Like oh my god, like it's the greatest thing. Like dude, like calm your shit. Like
when you say it's the best sport in the world. It's the most known sport in the world. Obviously,
anyone can play it, man. You can like kick around a cannon and call it soccer. You know, so I don't know. I just love like rattling like soccer hooligans. I think it's like the most funniest thing ever because they just get so defensive. Like oh my god, like I've never met a soccer like soccer hooligan that does not get offended whenever I tell them something about soccer.
so you're more of a conversationalist. You like to pick out. You like to hit someone's like little pressure point.
Why
I guess
not?
In a way of
why not
make the conversation a lot more interesting, right?
Yeah. Hey, Carlos, we're gonna have a conversation. We're gonna have a debate about this, Javier.
Well, okay, what's your debate?
Yeah, what is your debate on like soccer?
I just like watching it. I like enjoying the sport. Mm-hmm. People have different opinions about it. It's up to them. Can't really argue about that.
I think it's boring sometimes. Like, yeah, why is that then in a 0-0 tie? Like, you spend 90 minutes running around, like, trying to hit a ball in the net or whatever, goalpost. I mean, I watch soccer all my life, but I like soccer. I like watching it sometimes, too. But I just like to, like, just rattle it up, you know? It's just funny. It's just hilarious. I find it to be funny. Like, I just don't get the point. Why is it then in a tie?
Like soccer hooligans generally do get very, very offended when you talk about it, you know? I'm pretty sure you've been around those type of people.
Yeah, I don't mind it. Mm. It's like, stick with it, what you have to say. Mm. Like, you have something against it, say it, like Javier does. I don't mind his opinion. It might not be the same as mine, but can't change his mind.
No, like everyone's defense is always that, oh, it's the most played sport in the world. And yeah, I'll agree with that. It is definitely the most played sport in the world. But then again, just remember that it is one of the most offered sports in the world. It's one of the sports that literally anywhere you go that could play, the lesser known countries in the world are competing in the World Cup sometimes.
And it's the most corrupted too.
It is the most corrupted sport aside from the NFL.
Boxing.
Boxing, yeah. Boxing. MMA is getting up there too now with the whole thing on, I guess, Dana White kind of like being the dictator of that whole sport and stuff. But so the next part of the conversation list, we're talking about, we focus on the positives of the conversation. Do you agree with that?
I don't know.
I think Javier focuses more on the negatives.
No, it's not the negative. I just like I just focus on what's like, what are the key points, like what's important. Mm-hmm. I mean, like if you're talking to somebody about like for example, like swimming, mm-hmm. like swimming is I guess a big sport. Like, but I mean, do I really care about swimming? Like, not really. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really care, but. If they're interested in it, oh yeah, like there's this kind of stroke, and like yeah, well, that's pretty interesting.
Well, it's like cool. When you talk to someone about golf, when someone's generally mm-hmm. interested in golf, and you try to explain to them why it's such mm-hmm. a good sport, you know, what do you say? What do you generally say when you're trying to explain golf to someone?
I think it's like it's one of the hardest sports to play, and where people say it's not a sport, people say I consider it to be a game mm-hmm. because you're not really playing against anybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're playing. You have opponents, but you're playing the course mm-hmm. because you can always like have a good day yourself, but mm-hmm. it comes down to you. Mm-hmm. You know, if it comes down, like if another person gets inside your head, then you can probably have a bad game, but mm-hmm. it's usually up to the course and your own skill. So mm-hmm. I would explain it as, you know, it's probably one of the more difficult games mm-hmm. / sports that there is in the world to mm-hmm. to learn and really get good at. Mm-hmm. So
And it's not always an even playing ground either, because like in, say you go basketball or soccer, you know how big the field is going to be.
Of course.
You know how big the hoop or the net's going to be. You know all these things. And golf, when you start looking at the strategy side of it, it's a beautiful sport if you look at it, you know. Like you said, it's a beautiful game because you're playing against the course, you're playing against the weather, you're also playing against the people trying to catch up to you in the standings and stuff like that. But that's the whole point of the game, you know. So what do you think about that, Ruben?
I don't really like watching golf. I'll play it, but I won't watch it.
Why not? Like, that's the same argument with soccer. Like, soccer's boring. Sometimes can be the fucking boringest sport ever.
That's what I think about golf.
All right, so the next one is, I think the next one's more for older people. So it's respect, don't impose, criticize, or judge. When you talk about respect, at least when you're talking to an elderly person, should you respect them a lot more? Possibly, yeah. And if they're showing the same respect back to you, you know, in a way, I guess.
I think you have to show respect to everybody, not just elderly, but especially elderly. But
well, like, when you go to a bar, man, this is one place where I find it hard to conversate at sometimes, especially with people, especially when they're intoxicated. That's the hardest people to talk to, man, because anything you say wrong on accident, it really hits a pressure point on a drunk person, and they get wild with how they, when stuff like that happens. And that's where I kind of find along the lines of, like, if someone's drunk, I probably wouldn't criticize them or judge them. Probably just like, oh yeah, whatever, man, go your way, I'll go mine.
But then again, when you're intoxicated with friends, that's probably when you have the best conversation.
True, that's
you
definitely
have a conversation
true.
About anything and everything.
Mm-hmm. But that just comes down to immaturity. Like, if you can't have a conversation when you're drunk, then dude, like, this is immature.
Being a sloppy drunk.
Not being a sloppy drunk, but like, if you take everything offensively when you're drunk, like okay, like, there's something wrong. Like, like, okay, I know you understand you're incoherent, but like for example, this weekend, like, I mean, I don't know, I'm not gonna give names or anything like that, but I went to a wedding, you know, I went to a friend's wedding, and after the wedding, I was right there kind of just chilling around, and I started talking about football. And there happened to be a Raider fan there, and I was like, fuck the Raiders, you know, because I always say that, you know, I'm a diehard 49er fan, so
yeah.
I make fun of every team that's not the 49ers. And there was a young lady there, and I was kind of like, oh, fuck the Raiders. And she's like, what did you say? I'm like, fuck the Raiders, that's what I said. And she's like, oh, hell no, and all this shit. And I was just like, bro, like, I'm just talking about a team. Like, are you serious? Like, you're gonna get in my face just because I'm talking about a football team? Like, does it really matter to you that much? Like, if someone says, oh, fuck the 49ers, I'm like, oh, fuck the 49ers, you know?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it's just a conversation that we're having. Like, I'm not gonna take that shit, like, over the top seriously, but I don't know. Like, I just felt that sometimes people just, like, they can't take shit serious. Like, they can't take a joke. And when that shit happens, like, it's hard. It sucks, you know? It sucks.
Yeah, and like you said, it comes down to, like, your maturity and stuff like that. And how it definitely is when you're talking to someone when it comes to, like, a sports team or something. And we are hold on, everyone. We actually have two new special guests on here. Elizabeth Lopez and then Salvador Rodriguez back on this podcast. How are you guys doing?
Good,
what's up, Elizabeth?
What up?
I haven't seen you forever.
No. Wow. That's how it sounds like. Everybody's up here. Oh, my ass.
So when we get back to this part about, like, the whole conversation and stuff like that, When you hit pressure points on certain sports teams, like, obviously, and when it gets hit certain subjects and stuff, like, and so like you said, you accidentally said some. Well, you didn't accidentally say. You said that purposely, right?
Yeah, like, of course, I said that shit on purpose. Like, I mean, did I expect for her to get that upset? Like no, like, and like, someone had to take her kind of away because she was getting a little bit aggressive. Like, and I was just like, dude, like, what the fuck's your problem? Like, I'm just talking shit about a football team. Like, does it really matter that much?
Like, you
does it really matter that much?
Not really.
Like, I would understand if I was like saying something personal, but I wasn't saying anything personal. You know, I was a little bit buzzing too, but I knew exactly what I was saying. You know, I knew I was saying fuck the Raiders because there was a shitload of Raider fans there. But for this person to get like that upset, it's like, dude, like, grow the fuck up. Like, that's just someone trying to improve more than they are.
Yeah.
And that's how I think a lot of people are.
And If you're arguing over a sports team, it's those little high. I mean, if you're trying to prove a point, like, oh, why do you think your team is going to beat this team or something like that, that's a more different conversation. But when you generally just say, like, oh, I don't like your team, why do you get offended? Is that team your only part of your life that you probably achieve in it or something like that? Or you feel some type of pride in? Because if you don't take pride in your own life, then what the heck? You know, like, if you call – it's like, let's say, look, you call someone a bitch and they don't get offended over it. But when you call their team you tell them their team sucks, then they take that offensively. Like, come on.
It's even worse that you're having an argument and they're over there just getting paid.
Exactly. And
that could care less what you have to say. They're still getting paid the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making them more famous.
And it does come down to Raider fans a lot of the times. Man, you can't say anything about their team, man. They take that really seriously when they go.
I think it's stupid. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I love the 49ers. Like, that's one of my favorite football teams. Like, that's one of my favorite teams in general.
Mm.
But like, if people are talking shit, like, I mean, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, I'm a Niner fan, but I'm not part of the Niners.
Mm.
You know, like, I say we because, like, oh, like, that's my team. But like, am I really part of the team? No, I'm not. Does the team fucking pay me to, like, guess to wear their clothes? No, they don't. I just do it because that's my favorite team. But I don't know. I feel like there's a certain majority, like, minority of people that just, like, they just feel like all defensive about a team. Like, well, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, no, and like you said, it all comes down to your maturity, or at least where your pride is at. I guess, you know, if your prides aren't on all sports and like that, like, your whole life doesn't revolve around sports, and why does it offend you? But if it only revolves to the sport, you can't say anything about their team, and possibly that's people we don't want to have in our lives. I guess, you know, conversate with those kind of people. All right, so the next part of it is put the person in his or her best light. That would probably fall more under, like, if you're like conversating, at least in my opinion, I would put this like this. If I'm at a date with a girl and I really like her, I want her to feel special, you know, I want her to feel good about what we're talking about and stuff like that. So I would rather bring up conversations where she's a little more, I guess, where it makes her be a little more, like, brighter, where shine a little bit brighter, you know, like, make her feel good about herself. So hopefully I can score that second date. And if not, she can just go F herself, you know?
Didn't you have a bad experience about that, Carlos?
What do you mean?
I think you explained this day on a different podcast.
Oh, okay, yeah. So you're, so I was talking about I think it was like the first or second podcast.
It was
we did
one of the first ones.
And I was explaining that, like, have you ever been on a date that's been so bad that you accidentally got drunk because you kept drinking?
No, I've never been like that.
I was on a date like that a couple months ago, where I was out with a girl, and the conversation was going nowhere. Like, literally, I'll ask her a question, I'll get one word responses and stuff like that. I'm like, why even come if you're gonna come and talk, you know? So I just kept drinking. The waitress would come, like, do you want another beer? Yeah, sure, why not? And you want another one? Yeah, sure, why not? And before I knew it, I was like 4 or 5 beers in already, and I'm talking about these tall beers at Chili's. I was like, whoa, like, super intoxicated after that. And I was the one speaking the entire time. This girl wasn't saying anything. Like, the conversation even went dead for a little bit, so I think of a different way to spark up the next conversation. I was like, how's your dog doing? And I had nothing else to say. I mean, what do you do in those situations?
That's hard for you. You always have to say, Carlos.
Right?
You're always the one that speaks the most.
It's always bullshit.
Hey, it's better to talk bullshit than not speak at all. I would rather say this. Like, if you have nothing to say, and if you're comfortable, and like in a silent situation, then go for it. Why not? That's a good thing, you know. Don't be afraid of like of a silent, of getting a silent treatment or something like that during the date or something, if you say that, or if you're out with some friends or something like that. If there's nothing to be said, then nothing to be said, you know?
It's just on a strike to a second date.
Possibly not. I mean, if you're in a silent like date in the first date, yeah, you probably should not be. You probably should not be considering a second date, right?
I wouldn't want one.
All right, so the next one is be true to yourself.
I agree with that one.
I don't know. I don't care. Like, it's like whatever. Yeah. Some people, like, if they're true to themselves, like, what about if you're trying to have a conversation with someone that's shy? Like, if they stay true to themselves, like, you're gonna get shit from them because they're shy.
And in those situations, we'd rather have them drunk so they can talk more, right? But like, do you think shy people, when they get drunk, they actually do they become more shy, or do they become more outgoing?
It just depends. Yeah, there's different types of drunks.
Because we have cousins that they got drunk for the first time, and then I guess they got quieter. They just sat there and like didn't say anything. I'm like, whoa, they got more quiet. How's that even possible?
They couldn't talk too much alcohol.
You're just trying to process everything. That's why you're just like, oh fuck, like what's going on here?
It's because I think when you're drunk, you're drunk and you know like everything what's going on, you don't want to make yourself seem like a dumbass or make yourself seem look like you're drunk, you know. So you try everything in your possible nature to like, I can't speak or else I'm gonna sound like a dumbass if I do. Because I know when I get drunk, I start laughing a lot more than usual, right? When Javier gets drunk, he's more like a lazy drunk, like you, very boring drunk. He's like, I'm tired, I want to go home. I'm like, fuck, dude, I want to keep partying.
Nah, I just get tired. I just want to fucking find a bed and pass out. Like, I'd rather be tired than be an idiot. That's for damn sure.
True that.
Or a fighter or something like that. Like, nah, I'm good.
Ruben's more like a knockout drunk.
Go big or go home.
Ruben's the type of like he's the type of person, he doesn't drink at all for like months in, months out, and then the second he does drink, it's like,
are you a prude or what? Are you a prude? Ben, how old are you?
15.
You're not 15. Well, however, you're like what, 22?
Yeah.
You're like in your prime right now, dude. Like in your drinking prime, you should be able to like party all night and like wake up the next day like nothing.
I don't know about that.
Why not?
I fuck with tequila and fucking hard liquor.
You don't or you do?
I do. That's the only thing I fuck with.
That's good, man. Whiskey makes you frisky, right?
Sure.
Fucking guy.
No, when you drink tequila, it's not on. It's not straight, is it? Is it shots or is it more?
It used to be shots. I don't know, but then I started throwing up too much, so change it to mixed drinks now. Enjoy the night more. Have more fun.
And see, I truly dislike those type of people that whenever we go out or something like that, we're having a good time, and there's one person that always says this: "Let's do shots. Let's take a shot. Let's take a shot." Like, dude, I want to take a shot. You know, I don't like drinking out of the bottle. I don't like taking shots. I don't like any of that stuff. You know, I'd rather spend my time actually drinking instead of just downing all this hard liquor and making my night worse, because after a shot you feel pretty crummy, man. I don't know about you guys, but I do.
I avoid shots at all costs. I had a bad experience with like a straight alcohol, and ever since then I just can't do it.
I think the shots are like when you start drinking, you're excited about just drinking, and then once you have time drinking, you kind of calm down, take it easier. But that's how I was. First, when I started drinking, that all I wanted to do was shots. But now I'm like, I'm gonna control myself.
Well, it's like our buddy Aaron. He our co-host, actually, he's not even here to defend himself. But he got super drunk on his 22nd birthday. Yeah. And ever since then, he could barely even smell alcohol sometimes. Because this guy was taking like the day of his birthday, he took about, I think, 6 or 7 shots, but these weren't like regular shots. We're talking about like the Four Horsemen, the liquid cocaine, and he was downing those, and he said it was pretty bad, to the fact that he actually liked the liquid cocaine shots.
Damn.
That night. And
there's a shot at the streets of London. That's the bar on J Street here in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and they serve one called the Monkey Fart. It's a combination of wild turkey, mm-hmm. wild turkey whiskey, ooh, and a Bacardi 151.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I remember we got that one time for one of my friends, Jesus. Mm-hmm. He fucking blacked out bad, like bad, like it was hella bad.
How should that even be legal? That's too much mixing of alcohols, man.
I have no clue. Like when you get to that level, like the fuck, no. That's why when I don't like to celebrate my birthday sometimes because like people, oh, let's just take shots. Like fuck, no. Like shots are. Like they'll mm-hmm. fucking ruin your day, and like they'll ruin your fucking day pretty badly.
Mm-hmm. Like that, I would rather go like let's go get a beer somewhere and something like that. Let's go pound a couple beers in, you know. Like that's the kind of drunk I like to get to, you know.
Oh, bless you, sir. It's the beer.
Speaking of alcohol,
I thought Luis was in here.
For real, Luis, he drinks on every single show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think
there wasn't any water in the fridge, so beer was the next best thing. It's kind of late for soda, so I'm like, fuck it, let's just have a beer.
But it's never too late for a beer.
Never.
It's never too late for a beer.
It's never too late and it's never too early. Well, actually, this year when I was on my way to Las Vegas, like we were in a party bus and shit, and it was like 7:15, 7:30 in the morning. We were already like drinking. Like I was like, I think I killed like I had to chug a Bud Light around like 8 a.m. on an empty stomach.
Oh man.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck, this shit was horrible. And
so you guys took a party bus all the way to
Vegas? Like it was like one of those like Amador stage line buses.
Oh, okay.
But we turned it into a party bus, like all the way. Like everyone brought alcohol on board. Like it was my first time going. And then like I just saw people start showing up and they're like had alcohol in there. I was like, what the fuck, like what the fuck, like people were bringing hella shit on board, and like some people bought like shit to make mimosas and shit, and but we didn't even end up eating until like Barstow, which was like 1:30 in the afternoon. So that the whole time, like you're just drunk the whole way.
Why didn't you guys take any food?
Well, there was chips and shit, but that's not the same. Like, you need like a fucking burger, like with some protein to absorb the
grease.
Yeah, you need some greasy food in order to absorb that fucking alcohol. And I remember we got to Vegas, and it was just.
You already drunk.
I was tired. I was fucking tired that day. I was like, goddamn.
Well, beer in general, always makes you tired.
Yeah, hell yeah, it does. Like going to the Yard House, like I have a beer and I'm like, damn, I fucking want to go to sleep.
Yeah, there's. Tell us about your story one time at Yard House.
Oh, like fuck, dude. Like, I remember one time I went with Omar and Torres and two of my friends. Mm-hmm. And we got hella drunk, like, and Omar had four of the half yards, which a half yard consists of like three beers, like three canned beers, like that's how much is in there. So he had four of those. I had three, and Torres had three, but we had like I had one Kona longboard, I think one Modelo, and then one of the Pyramid Apricot beer. So I was pretty drunk. And I drove that day, and we're outside the parking lot. This was like, because it's a couple years ago, so if you're listening to this, like, it's a while ago. We're out in the fucking parking lot flipping quarters to see who's gonna fucking drive home. I just remember driving, I was like, fuck, like, damn. Like, because I lost, I was like, fuck. Just driving home, I was like, fuck. If I get pulled over right now, it's the end of me. But luckily, we made it home safe. We still got here, but we still got back to the house, and my brother was having a party. We just fucking chilled back, and then we still went to downtown Roseville, that Club Onyx, to fucking keep partying over Yeah, so that night we didn't end up going to sleep till like probably 3 a.m. or something like that.
God,
the next day I was fucking hella tired and hella hungover. I was like, God,
I bet. No, and it's worth. And like, I don't know. Hangovers with beer is some of the worst hangovers I've had, because like, beer, it just makes your head hurt super bad, man.
Beer?
Yeah.
For me, beer doesn't give me a bad hangover. For me, it's more liquor. Like, liquor fucking give me a bad hangover. Like, I'll just feel crummy for days.
And I never get that. Like, if I just drink pure whiskey all night, I will not wake up with a hangover.
I can't do that shit.
How is it with tequila? Do you wake up with a bad hangover with tequila?
Yeah, but I had probably the worst hangover was with vodka.
Oh, well. Yeah, man.
Vodka was probably the worst hangover.
And see, I can't do vodka.
I can't either. But one time I did the, what's it called? The P. Diddy one? What's it called?
Oh, Ciroc.
Ciroc, yeah. It was Ciroc Peach. Oh, my God. I can never taste Ciroc Peach again. That shit's fucking gross. Remember, like, I went to a party, and, like, some of my friends were just offering me, like, hella beer and, like, hella fucking mixed drinks. And that night, probably one of the worst. Like that, and my 24th birthday was probably one of the worst drunk moments of my life. It was bad. I remember I had a hangover for like, I was like maybe like 2 or 3 days after that. It was still a Wednesday. I started recovering.
Ciroc is just horrible in general. I can't have a single thing up from Ciroc. Like, yeah, but some apple peach. I don't care, man.
That night I mixed it with 1800 tequila.
Oh, what the heck?
And then
another nasty alcohol.
Jack Daniel's honey whiskey.
Oh.
And then
no wonder.
And then someone else gave me like one of those Bud Light
the Platinums?
No, the Limeritas.
Oh, okay.
It was the raspberry or shit like that. And then like just drinking beer and shit. I remember someone gave me a Budweiser and I had a couple Bud Light Platinums too.
So you mix hard, man.
And then like I had bought a fucking case of the Pyramid Apricot, like not a case but like a six pack, because I thought I was gonna be chill. Like I didn't expect to get that drunk. But the fucked up thing is like I went with one of my bros, one of my friends. We went to what's the fucking place? We just ate there tonight.
BJ's.
We went to BJ's and we each got a pitcher. So we were already fucking. We were already drunk, like heading towards the party.
Uh-huh.
And then like it's time for alcohol. And I was like, all right, cool. And since that night, I hadn't seen a lot of my friends. It was just fucking downhill. I was like, fuck. Like I got super drunk that night. I got fucked up.
You guys' frat parties get somewhat wild though when it comes like drinking.
They used to, not anymore. Because like some of the guys, like they're scared of like throw parties because of like cops or whatever. So that's whatever. I don't really go out that much. Like all these stories I'm telling you like from like 2 years ago, because that's when I was like at my peak.
Yeah. And
nowadays,
no. Do you guys get in trouble if the university finds out you guys are drinking all that stuff like off campus? Do you guys get in trouble for that, or they don't care unless
Not unless like you're causing problems. Like I mean, I never really heard about the university getting involved for like for drinking. They mostly just care about like other shit, but. Nah, drinking's like
hazing or so. Like,
yeah, I'm like hazing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess. Yeah, but that's any university, you know. Like, they're always investigating that shit because it's serious. Like, sometimes like some people really do go overboard, but we don't do none of that shit. So, nah, we're good.
And see, like we're watching that movie. What was it called?
Goat.
Yeah. And
oh, that's extreme shit. Like,
I thought they did a little too much on that movie. Like,
I don't know. Like, I think that like fraternities like. Like they have a lot of different shit that they do, but I mean I had never ever seen shit like in that movie. Like I had never ever seen shit like that. Like that shit's some extreme stuff, like to the top. Like I didn't even think of some like all that shit that they could do. So I don't know.
Yeah, like I know you have your code with your bros and everything. You guys have like that. You guys can't speak about any of this stuff. So but to hear you say that, that's a little on extreme end. Yeah. And so
well, there's I mean I've heard of like other frats that do that, but I mean not us. We don't do that. None of that shit.
Everyone knows that. Like, that the university has to know there's hazing going along.
That's why they investigate all the time. Like that's why they're always investigating, and they take that shit pretty seriously. I would too if I was at university. Like we don't want any fucking kids like dying and shit.
Wasn't
like
in Davis like a while ago, right? Someone in Davis died from like a hazing scandal, or no, it wasn't in Davis.
It's in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, there you go.
They left. What I read that they left some kid in the woods and like no water, no food.
What
so
the fuck?
He fucking pretty much like starved and like pretty much died of dehydration.
And that was part of the hazing scandal.
Yeah, I guess that was part of that's part of their pledging process, and. Yeah, like he fucking died out in the forest. They spent like 2 days looking for him and finally found his body and he was dead.
What the heck?
That's crazy.
So, at least for you, was the whole getting into the fraternity, was it worth it?
Yes and no. Like, yes, because I have a lot of good friends that I made from the fraternity. But no, because I think that sometimes dealing with other people, like you get to see the bad side of them. Like, maybe if I could go back in time and redo it again, I maybe wouldn't do it. Mainly because I felt that it took a lot of time away from me. Like, because I was really into boxing during that time, and I felt that if I wouldn't have gone through the fraternity, like I feel like I would have done a lot more in boxing. So I think it took a lot of my time. I did learn a lot. Like I said, I made a lot of good friendships, but I don't know. Like I always tell kids, like, oh, if you're gonna go Greek, like you better think about it hard, like, because it's gonna change you. It's gonna change you for sure. It's either gonna change you for the worse most of the time, or it's gonna change you worse. I say worse because like you're gonna like. you're gonna think you're better than everybody just because you're Greek, but that's not the truth. Like, it's a fucking joke. It really is. Like, it really is. It's just a joke. Like, if you think you're good just because you're wearing Greek letters, like, it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't make you. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. So, I don't know.
And I hear from a lot of people. I hear from a lot of people say like the benefits to it is that you get like friendships from people that, like actually doing something with their life, I guess, you know, that they're actually like going somewhere. So you make
not it, everybody though, not everybody's yeah. like doing something with their life. Like, there's guys that joined the fraternity and they ended up dropping out. Mm. Other guys, they didn't take advantage of school and they ended up dropping out or just not giving a shit.
So I'm guessing you had bros like that too, that like they took the Greek life way too seriously. Well, not even seriously, they just took advantage of it so much that they partied every single night. And
And then you see it like years later, like when they're like fifth or sixth years and they still haven't graduated. Mm. And you're just like, dude, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, how come you haven't left this place? You know, I did it in 5 years because I minored in Spanish. I also would have done it in 4. Mm. But I also pledged till I was this fourth year. I was in fourth year, so I had a little bit more time.
Why'd you wait so long?
Because I fucking was having fun doing my own shit, you know? Just I didn't really care about it. And then finally I was like, fuck, I got to do something. And that's when I just decided to pledge.
Mm. Hey, how about you, Ruben? Why don't you go to frat?
Not no more.
What the fuck? Why?
Dude, watch that movie Go. It will probably convince you not to join one.
It's really exaggerated. That one is extremely exaggerated, I think. It's extremely exaggerated.
It's with the Jonas brother. I forgot the youngest guy's name or something like that. I don't think it's Joe Jonas. I think it's Nick Jonas or something like that. I forgot those dudes' names, but the movie did go at a little too extreme, man. They're showing supposedly that they would throw these guys in a little cabin or whatever, not even cabin, like a little hut or whatever, and they had to like sit there with the goat and they had to drink like a whole keg of warm beer and stuff, and if they don't do that, they have to kill the goat. And it was too extreme, man. It was way too extreme.
I've heard of that shit happening.
Really?
I heard one of my friends, he pledged for a fraternity back when I first got to Sac State. Mm. And like, he never really wanted to tell me anything about it. And then like after he crossed, I was like, dude, like, what is it like? And that kept me away from Greek life for a while. Mm. And I was like, dude, what is it like? He's like, dude, they took us up to a cabin and they gave us like a keg. And like, you guys have like the whole, like two kegs, and you guys have the whole weekend to finish it all. What the fuck? Like, that shit was crazy. I was like, fuck, that shit was insane. But I don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah, it's not my life.
I don't know.
Sometimes they do take it to extreme, but sometimes there's like certain organizations that you can join aside from fraternities, right?
Of course.
You were part of.
I was part of Alpha Phi Sigma. That was the National Criminal Justice Honor Society.
Yeah, see, like, so that's not every fraternity.
It's not a fraternity. It's an honor society.
Oh, okay.
The fraternity on campus that's more dedicated for criminal justice was Lambda Alpha Epsilon. They're the LAE. They're the American Criminal Justice Association. This is the little bit differences. Like, mine was a social frat, which is more intended for like for social events, and like friendships and shit like that. So, I mean, it's like whatever. There's a shitload of people that have joined fraternities in their lives and sororities. So, I don't think that's ever going to end.
Now, is it true that sororities can't have parties?
I don't think that's true. I've seen sororities throw parties all the time.
Do they get more wild than the guys?
Nah, because that's only usually like a cock fest at sororities, because girls have a problem getting along with other girls. And guys, they can tolerate to have like other guys around. Like, they don't really care. But I think girls, they're fucking can be bitches sometimes. And,
that's it for sure.
Yeah, no, like, so sometimes they'll be more hesitant to have parties. Go, we don't want the other girls to show up. Like,
all right. So you
want a fucking room full of dudes that are just like.
No, and it's the worst part though when you invite like a friend, right? Mm-hmm. And he brings hella guys with him. Oh, yeah. And then they're like, where the female is at? Like, dude, you brought half the population of dudes with you. Come on. What you mean? What do you mean? Where all the girls are at, man? You brought nothing but you brought a sausage fest with you.
I don't really care. Like, I don't really go to parties to hit on girls. Like, I think that's the worst place to find a girl. I mean, I didn't find my girlfriend at a party. Mm. Like, but I think that's one of the worst places to find females is at a
I think at a party, at a club, or at a bar. I think those are like probably some of the worst places you can meet a girl at. right? I mean, do you agree?
I don't know. I don't find very many girls' clothes. You're asking the wrong person.
Why not? Were you scared of girls or what?
I'm a shy one of the group.
Shy, my
shy
ass.
Boy, yeah, right. But when you get drunk, it's a whole different story. Right, Ruben?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Whiskey makes him frisky.
I don't really get drunk,
Carlos. Ruben, a couple weeks ago. Actually, months ago, right?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, your whole phrase was a Sheen 280, shame my lady.
Hey, that was you. All I said was, fuck it. That's all I said.
That's how every bad night starts. Fuck it. Whatever happens, happens. All right, so let's get back to this part of the conversation list, which is 50-50 sharing. So when you're talking with someone, don't let, like I said, with the exception of that night where I was super drunk, trying to on a first date with this girl, I had to talk the entire time because she was talking. But that goes, like, if she has something input, I would let her put her input. That's like, it's a 50-50 kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, I'm more of a guy that listens. Mm-hmm. More of a listener.
I like asking questions,
but I like people expressing themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't mind.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll ask questions. Mm-hmm. If they let me. Carlos, you don't let people talk.
Okay, so the last podcast we had with Salvador, he was like, "Oh, you didn't let me speak." I'm like, "If you have something to say, just push it in. Don't worry about me." If I'm rambling about something, you'd be like, hold on, let me put this in. That's what makes for a good podcast, you know. Especially if we can make it as conversational as possible. That's, you know, a plus for
I'm
us.
I'm a polite person. I don't like interrupting, Carlos.
Polite person, my ass.
I am.
How about you, Ari? What kind of like person are you when you're talking with someone? At least when you're out with someone.
I don't know. Like, it just depends on the person. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm out with someone that doesn't like to talk, then. Well, fuck, like, it's fucking boring. But if I'm with someone that likes to talk, like, yeah, like, just give and take, I guess.
Like, who are the type of people you like talking to the most?
Just people that, like, have a lot to say, like, and, like, have, like, a wide spectrum of, like, intelligence. Like, I don't like people that just, like, focus on, like, oh, like... For example, like, I have a lot of friends that all they talk about is, like, females, like, and that's cool, like, I guess that's their thing, but, like, I talk conversations from, like politics, like, technology, or sports, or just everything, like, that's interesting, but I just, for me, it's like, what the fuck, like, if all you need to do is talk about your, and I know I've only been talking about drunk times, because, I mean, that's just, like, for entertainment, but, you know, like, if we want to have a serious conversation, then, you know, we can. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know.
Yeah. And a lot of times, if you end up even having a better conversation with people when they could, when you could talk about those certain type of like subjects that on a daily basis, you wouldn't have a conversation with a lot of people. You know, you probably end up, like me personally, I listen to a lot of podcasts. So that, I like hearing what those guys have to say, because they talk about, like, different things. And I've been really hooked on this guy named the Josh Zepp show, and their whole podcast has been so much fun to listen to. He's like, they're talking about subjects. Like, the other day they're talking about, like, they're having a conversation about people having conversations, kind of like us, but they took more on the side of, like, when people start talking about religion and stuff, and how quickly it is to offend someone when you talk about religion.
It's religion and politics. Probably.
It's some of the most delicate subjects to talk about, is especially when you're talking to someone like of a different race. You know, you have to be very, very particular how you and what you say about religion. You know, like, we can't. For example, I hang out with a lot of people who are Sikh, from the Indian culture, and. That's kind of hard, because I don't know too much about it. So when I do ask about it, I try to take their side, and I try to, like, understand what their religion's about. Just like they don't understand my religion, and if they ask questions about my religion, I'll respond to them. You know, so it's quite difficult. It's quite difficult on those subjects. The next one, which is what we were talking about earlier, is ask purposeful questions. That keeps the conversation interesting.
I guess, but it depends on the subject.
True that.
Depends on the person as well.
True that, yeah. All these things depend on the person you're talking with. Yeah. All these things depend on the person you're talking with. So, like, what would be a purposeful question, I guess?
Depends on...
Where are you from?
Yeah, there you go. That leads in, like, I remember when we were in Cancun, that was one way to spark a conversation with anyone, especially when I was trying to get, I was trying to talk to a girl. I would go ask her, like, oh, where are you from? And boom, she'll tell me, like, oh, I'm from Australia.
But that only works, like, if you're, like, at a foreign place. Like,
yeah.
Because what if you, like, if you're in the same class or whatever, like, or let's just take school, for example. You know where everyone's from. And, like, I can't fucking ask a person, where are you from, man? Like, I mean, it works for if you're meeting a new person for the first time. But, I mean, if you already know a little bit about that person, then I think another one would be, like, oh, so how's your day going, you know? Like, or what's new? Mm-hmm.
Now, would you guys be the ones that like to strike up conversation at a grocery store?
Probably not.
No, you don't think so? I've done that before.
Nah, I can't do that shit.
You would find it very.
I'm scared of strangers. What? I swear.
I think strangers are scared of you.
Yeah, I mean, look at you.
Yeah. I don't know.
6 foot, what is it, 6 foot two?
No, full 6 foot three.
Whoa, my bad. Yeah, as you can tell, we're nothing alike, like brothers. Yeah, people, whenever I walk in someone with Javier, I'm just like, oh, that's my bodyguard.
Shut the fuck up. I'm going to start charging for this shit then. Saying this ain't a free ride, fool.
Like, that's what everybody says when they're with Javier. Oh, he's my bodyguard.
Fuck, I'm going to start charging, fool. I'm going to start carrying around like a little charging thing, you know?
I just say I'm his pimp. That's
I'll just fucking send the Venmo charge later.
Venmo charges, dude. Like, I remember for my 21st, I went with these guys for my birthday. I was sitting down with Javier and everything, and I was sitting with Javier, your bro Jesus, and our friend George, and it literally looked like I had bodyguards around me because all these guys are super big, and I'm over here like getting drunk and stuff like that. These guys are just watching over me, like, yup. I made it in life when I have my own bodyguards.
Okay.
Again, asking purposeful questions, I guess. How the hell do they get the bodyguards from there? All right, give and take.
That's what I said. Yeah. Give and take.
Yeah. I think that's what makes more for a good conversation.
Yeah, of course.
Right? If you know how to input something and you know how to, like, take something from someone, you know, like, I guess... Again, we'll put in a situation where at a bar, and let's say in this bar we're on a certain subject of let's say cars. Mm-hmm. Okay, if this guy is just on, he's like a Chevy guy, and you're a Ford guy, you know. You have to learn how to ask him. Well, at least not ask him a question, but how to give your own input on trying to prove to him like, no, Ford's the best, you know.
By him, I guess.
Now, do you like having more conversations with like older people or your own age?
Probably older people because they have a lot more insight. Like, I think they appreciate a conversation more than younger people do nowadays.
Yeah,
that's, so I don't know.
That's true. You?
I'm probably with the older person. Yeah. More to say, like with the younger person, especially
like a upcoming. Gilf?
What?
Like a gilf?
Grandma likes to fuck.
An older person, like a gilf or something?
No. It's with someone older. Make it awkward, right? Don't you?
Hey, man, there are some really good looking older women out there. Avira's had a client before that. I was. Woo. Remember that lady?
Which one?
I think her dad was like, he was just taking care of her dad that she moved into her house.
Oh yeah.
I was so excited to go to that lady's house, man. I was like, I always had like this wish that I would get there and she'd be like sun tanning in the backyard in her bikini. I was like, woo! And she had a spa in the back, so I was kind of hoping that I would walk in on that too. And you know those certain type of I guess fantasies you get when you I hope to walk in, and she's like, "Oh, you should come in with me," and start, and then there starts the sex tape.
I'm a saint, so I wouldn't know about that.
Shut the fuck up.
I go to church like every two years.
Every 2 years. Dude, I haven't been to church in hecka long. I used to go all the time. I used to be an altar boy.
And how long?
Hecka long.
Alright, so I think we've covered all the subjects we had to cover. Anything else you guys, any input you guys want to put on them?
I have a question for both of you guys.
Alright.
Alright, what's up?
So
I have an answer.
Hopefully.
I think I have an answer.
So how's it important to have a conversation with future clients for you guys that you guys have a small business?
That's a little like it's easy, actually. It's not that hard. At least how I see it.
But how important is it?
It's very important.
What was the question again?
How important is it to have a conversation with their future client?
Yeah, like a potential client.
Like when you first meet them?
Yeah.
Like when you're like, they call you like, can you come over because I want to have some work done? They'll typically ask me a question like what do you do? Like, oh, and I'll tell them I'm a student and I run this business and shit. So it just depends what they're asking.
And see, the other day I was talking to another guy who works in the area, mm-hmm. and he was like, and he told me the easiest way to get a single lady right there in the area we're working, which is Lincoln, mm-hmm. the easiest way to do it is flirt with them. I was like, whoa. I'm like, I don't know what your idea of flirting is, but I'm like, I like to keep it professional in a way. I don't want to be alluring these ladies into like, oh yeah, you should invite me into your house, unless she's already your client or something like that. And she invites you over for wine later, take it. But yeah, when it comes to potential clients, it is very important. It is very, very important to be very vocal on what you're gonna do for them, just let them know that anytime they do need you, that you'll be there for anything, how easy it is to get in contact with you, and that you're very punctual, you'll be there every single week. There's a lot of stuff that comes into play when you go talk to a potential client, right?
Yeah.
I think that's even if you're trying to keep a good client, right?
Yeah, to keep a client, actually, it's harder than get one. I think so. Because it doesn't also, I mean, yeah, your work reflects a lot of this stuff. So, but if your work is not reflecting like what you guys say is in a startup, so if they're asking you questions, you better know how to reply to them. I'm gonna fix this as soon as possible, and actually go through with it. I guess it falls along those lines. I guess.
What do you mean? I guess. How are you?
I don't know. I just say it straight up.
So you don't really like having conversations with your clients?
Yeah, it's cool. That's cool. I mean, I have conversations with them all the time. But the first time meeting them, I think you kind of have to work your way into getting to that point. Because when you meet someone for the first time, it's for a client, they kind of are more interested in what you're going to do for them. Mm-hmm. And they might ask you what do you do? Where are you from? But typically, they'll just be straight to the point. How much is it going to cost me? What is it going to do here? Can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do this? How's your bid? How's your schedule? The stuff like that.
I think those are the clients that are a little bit busier. Probably the elderly ones are the ones that...
Maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't know. It's more like a question for you guys.
Because he has a client, and we went there. I go there with him once in a while. That older guy he's always outside, working on his music or something like that.
Oh yeah, John.
And he always has a bunch of stuff to say. He was talking to me about his Jaguar the other day. He's telling me how much horsepower it has, and I'm like, dude, I don't really know much about cars. But I listen to the guy, because a lot of these older people don't have anyone to talk to sometimes. And that guy's wife is a little on the crazier end, you could say that. No?
I guess. Mr. and Mrs. Cook, yeah, that's what I was thinking, their last name.
Yeah, it's don't just bust them out like that.
I'm pretty sure you won't listen to the podcast anymore.
We're famous already. What are you talking about? Everybody listens to
this. We're iTunes famous. Well, I guess this will lead us to the ending of our podcast today. Again, I really thank you for being out here again. I hope to have you again next time. We probably will have you again, though, with Renee Gonzalez, if that little fat fuck doesn't keep bailing on us.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so again, signing off. It's across the way from me was Javier today. And then next to me, Ruben Rodriguez.
Peace
out, yo.
Catch you guys next time.
Peace.